This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. I'm Chris Policano. District Council 37 is the city's largest union of city workers. We represent 125,000 members and 50,000 retirees. We're part of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also known as AFSCME. Tonight, we're talking to David K. Johnston, who is a Pulitzer Prize winner, who has the author of a book called The Making of Donald Trump, and the founder of an entity now known as DC37Report.org, which is a new website. And we're going to let David talk about what that is and in these troubled times in which we live. David, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. It's actually not the union's website. It's DCReport.org.
Right, right. Let's make that very clear. It is DCReport.org.
Which is a little play on my name, David Kay, which is spelled C-A-Y and District of Columbia. But DCReport.org, it's a nonprofit, non-advertising news site. It's entirely supported by donations. I'm a volunteer. There are a few people who are paid a little bit of money. And what we're doing is covering what Donald Trump and Congress do, not what they say. So we have reported on things that either have not been reported on by the mainstream press, or after we brought them up, they got coverage from other places, such as Donald Trump's move to make sure that you pay more for your electricity, not less. And Wall Street makes more money from gaming the electricity, quote-unquote, markets. Why it may be unsafe to go to the beaches all across the country because of their actions they've taken to essentially allow polluters more freedom to put their crud in the water. And perhaps most importantly, last Saturday, in a short a piece by me and then a 10,000-word article next to it, we detail the very long, deep financial connections between Wilbur Ross, the richest member of the Trump cabinet, who is now the Commerce Secretary, and Russian criminals who are deeply involved in money laundering. $10 billion of money laundering that resulted in a $650 million fine through the bank, through Deutsche Bank's offices in Moscow, New York City, and Cyprus. And the entity that Wilbur Ross is deeply involved in is called the Bank of Cyprus, where he is the co-vice chair. The other co-vice chair was appointed by none other than Vladimir Putin. And the head of the bank that was put in there by Wilbur Ross is the former head of Deutsche Bank, which did all this money laundering, and which is the largest single known lender to Donald Trump. He has more than $300 million of loans outstanding to Deutsche Bank. And the point of that report, of course, is that the Trump administration is deeply, deeply involved with the Russian oligarchs, who are essentially a state-sponsored, a government-sponsored network of international criminals. And, of course, the White House is desperately saying, there's nothing there. Don't look at anything. You know, Donald Trump the other day said, I haven't called Russia. I haven't spoken to Russians. I haven't been to Russia in years, when less than 4 years ago he was in Moscow and boasting about dealing with Putin and getting a gift from him and meeting all the Russian oligarchs.
So the Trump-Russian connection is not going away, and your site is working on these connections and reporting these stories.
Exactly right. On our little shoestring budget, you know, we've broken news ahead of my former newspaper, the New York Times, ahead of the Washington Post, and they're doing great work. They're doing great work today. But, you know, to paraphrase Richard Nixon, people have got to know that their president is not a traitor. And, you know, that the New York Times story this morning that the Obama administration discovered so many connections between Trump, the Trump Organization, and the Trump campaign, and was so concerned that once Trump took office that they would destroy the evidence, that they made sure it was spread widely among the 17 intelligence agencies, that lots of people had material and knew about stuff, so they couldn't cover up what was happening. And that's very Obama-like. You know, Obama wouldn't, even when he knew about the Russians interfering before the election in our domestic politics, he wouldn't say something publicly because he believes in the institution and in peaceful transitions of power. But he also made sure that we would know and be able to get at the truth about these deep connections. And the Trump administration, if there's anything that's crucial to them, is they do not want an investigation that's meaningful. That's why they want it done by the intelligence committees. And the intelligence committees meet in secret.
Right.
You'll notice that Representative Nunes, the Republican chair of the House Intelligence Committee, said yesterday or the day before, well, you know, I haven't seen anything at all. There's no evidence. I haven't seen anything at all suggesting anything's there. Well, of course he hasn't. They haven't started their investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything disqualifies him personally, but especially these committees, it's that this we don't want this swept under the Intelligence Committee's secret rug. If the President of the United States has been compromised by the Russians, if he is involved with the Russians, which he is up to his eyeballs, as I wrote about in The Making of Donald Trump and as we report at DC Report, Americans need to know that. They need to understand, why is it that on every major issue on the world stage where Vladimir Putin has an interest, Donald Trump has the same interest? Why does the candidate and now President of the United States sing the praises of this murderous autocrat who is a thief of unbelievable proportions? I mean, reportedly worth $40 or $50 billion despite his $100,000 annual salary, stealing from the Russian people, fomenting violence, and everywhere trying to undercut democracy because he believes in authoritarian rule. He thinks democracy is a joke, and he's interfering not just in American elections, but in elections in France where the Russians are financing the right-wing candidate Marie Le Pen in other European countries. And we need to have a thorough, public, bipartisan, no-holds-barred investigation with subpoena power, just like we had back during Watergate, because we cannot have a president of the United States who is beholden to a foreign power.
The website is DCReport.org. Now you almost have me doing that. You almost have
Sorry
me saying
that.
DCReport.org.
And we also own .com, US, and net. So if you type in .com, you get the same thing. It refers you to DCReport.org. And you can sign up for free alerts. Every time we post something, we'll send you an email. But most importantly, Chris, here's the thing we're trying to do with that website. When there is a formal government proceeding, like a change of rules, citizens have a right to express their comments. If you write an email, they don't pay any attention to it. If you call, they don't care, unless it's to certain numbers. We tell you, here is how to tell the government what you think. We don't tell you what to think. You do whatever you want. But we say, if you don't want electricity prices to go up so that Wall Street can game the electricity, quote, markets, end quote, because I don't think they're real markets. They're a rigged game to make money for Wall Street. Here is what you do. You email this address or you call this number, and you have to use this case file number or this docket number, and then tell them whatever you think. And if the government realizes that many citizens are watching what it's doing, that we are taking back our democracy and paying attention to our democracy, we will get laws and regulations that are much more in line with the needs and the interests of the American people and not with Donald Trump's cronies on Wall Street.
What do you think about, you know, there's been much in the last couple of weeks, Trump's relationship with the press. DCReport.org is a different way of doing journalism. What do you think about the changes in journalism during the course of your vaunted career?
Well, during the 70s and the 80s in particular, newspapers were very aggressive and tough. They have moved away from this because there have been 40 years of sustained attacks. The same people who've been financing the attacks on unions have been financing attacks on news organizations. And I'm astonished at the number of people I meet who, you know, the New York Times is just full of opinion. Really? Have you read it? Well, no, of course I don't read it. Well, then you really don't know what's in it. There's lots of facts that are in it every day, more than any other newspaper in the world. You know, well, who do you get your news from? Sean Hannity. Well, Sean Hannity, by his own account, is an entertainer. He's not a journalist. He just makes things up like Rush Limbaugh does. No. They're the ones who tell the truth.
Right.
Would you like me to send you some of the studies done showing that they just make it up, they get it wrong, they don't know what they're talking about?
Right.
And, of course, news organizations correct when they make mistakes. And like everybody else, they make mistakes. What's changed here with Trump is Donald Trump during the campaign, Chris, was not investigated. I wrote numerous articles and then my book, The Making of Donald Trump, documenting from the public record, no unnamed sources or anything like that, entirely from public records, Donald Trump's lifelong deep embrace of one of the biggest drug traffickers, not a dealer, a trafficker, a kingpin in America, whom he risked everything he had to assure this man that he would be loyal to him, just as he's doing with Putin. His involvement with Russian mobsters, American mobsters, various swindlers, the way he cheated workers out of their pay, small business people out of their fees, which forced them to fire their workers, and in some cases they went out of business. The man is a world-class criminal, a con artist. In fact, now that he's president, I can tell you he is the most successful con artist in the history of the world. Well, now that he's president and not candidate, he's getting tougher coverage. And the Russian issue here, this is, imagine a high-rise building in any big city, and there is enormous amount of smoke pouring out of the lobby and the basement windows, just like crazy. And you call the fire department, they say, well, there's no fire, so we're not going to go look. That's what the Republicans are saying.
There's no fire.
When the building, of course, burns down and kills everybody inside, then we'll have a scandal about the fire department. We need to have an investigation. There's so much smoke here that, and they're trying so hard to cover up and not have an investigation.
And let's be clear about this. You are not offended as an advocate of some particular view, political viewpoint. You are offended as a journalist and a reporter and a digger of facts.
And as a citizen of the United States.
Right.
Clearly, I don't believe Donald Trump is fit to hold any office whatsoever, and I show that in the book. I mean, the man is deeply mentally disturbed, and I've known Donald for almost 30 years. Every other one of his biographers, some of whom spent more time with Donald than I have, all have the same view and say so. The man is deeply mentally disturbed. He is a narcissist, in my view. Other people call him a sociopath, and he certainly shows many of the signs of a sociopath. He has no regard for any other human being. He lies with the ease with which every one of us breathes. And, TV now begins running pieces. Last night when I was on MSNBC, they did an intro before I was on where they had Trump saying totally opposite things, completely, irreconcilably opposite things, because Donald Trump creates his own reality. He just makes it up.
I've got to take a break. We're going to continue the conversation. This is WNYE FM 91.5. This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show. I'm Chris Policano. We're talking with David K. Johnson, and we'll be right back.
Were you a September 11th responder or volunteer? Were you present at the dust cloud on 9/11? Do you live, work, or go to school in the New York City disaster area on 9/11 or in the following months? Do you now suffer from problems such as chronic cough, shortness of breath, anxiety, depression, or have other symptoms? If so, you may be eligible for the World Trade Center Health Program and could receive medical monitoring and treatment at no out-of-pocket cost to you. To learn more about the program and get an application, go to www.cdc.gov/WTC or call 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care. Call today. 1-888-982-4748. 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care.
Thank you. We're back. This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. We're talking with David K. Johnston, who is a Pulitzer Prize winning reporter, and he's very much involved with DCReport.org, which is a new website dedicated to the long ago highly respected art of reporting. The Trump speech that was done last week. What did you think of that speech, Mr. Johnson?
Well, his talk to Congress simply demonstrated that Donald, a professional television entertainer, can read off a teleprompter. He didn't change any position whatsoever. He used slightly different language to make the exact same points he's made before. And notice that the opening of his talk, he didn't say, "my fellow Americans." He said, "citizens of the United States," or words to that effect, citizens. About 60 million people in this country either were born elsewhere, many of them are now citizens, but were born elsewhere, and are here legally or don't have documentation to be here. It's about one person in seven. Donald Trump wants to remove as many of those people as he can. Donald Trump is a racist. He's a white nationalist. He is a man who's been found to have discriminated in rental housing and employment against blacks, women, Asians. And that speech was calculated to soften his image by the way it was worded, but if you carefully, critically examined what he said, it's just a continuation of his policies. I mean, this is an administration that grabbed a woman who was in the hospital for a brain tumor. Now, she's in the United States without papers. She's in the country illegally, but they grabbed her out of her hospital bed with a brain tumor and took her to jail. This is a completely heartless administration, just as Donald Trump is a completely heartless man. You know, he's not a Christian. He constantly will tell you he's a Christian. He was asked, you know, during the campaign, "Well, you say nobody reads the Bible more than Donald Trump. Can you cite some chapter and verse for us?" "Oh, there's so many. And the one time he tried, he got it wrong. On the other hand, my book, The Making of Donald Trump, I quote what he has said numerous times and put in his books that other people write for him, that he regards people who follow the teachings of Jesus Christ as, and these are Donald Trump's words, fools, idiots, and schmucks." And that last word he means in the most vile sense of the Yiddish term. Donald Trump is about Donald Trump. He believes that he is genetically superior. He and one of his sons have said this. He is genetically superior. He has said he is so smart that the best advisors in the world are in his own head.
Well, there's
now,
a video.
I don't know about you, Chris, but when I hear him say that, I go, yeah, Donald is delusional.
There's a video going around on the internet of the number of times he has prefaced any issue with "nobody knows better than I."
Yes.
Blah, 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 blah. That nobody right. knows. And when you see the, there are like 26 examples of this. And when right. you see it, you know, compiled that way, it really does take you back. What is curious, and then I want to get back to talking more about news versus fake news. But what is interesting to me is that, yes, as you point out, this was a man who was, you know, had 10 years of TV experience and whom the American public seemed to know more about him than any of the other Republican candidates and it seemed to not matter. The
right.
lack of, in fact, it seemed to be the selling point of Trump, the fact that I'm...
But here's why. Donald understands something that journalists and don't, and I think many politicians don't. He understands the principle of advertising. Why do you keep seeing the same ad on TV for Flo or the Geico Gecko or any of those other ads. Why do you see the shampoo bottles in the ads? It's because repetition plants something in your mind. And Trump knows that if he keeps saying something again and again and again, it gets into people's heads. So many of the people who voted for Donald Trump have said in interviews with journalists and political scientists and others that they voted for him because they were persuaded that he was going to improve their awful economics.
Right.
They didn't listen when Donald Trump said American wages are too high. And he said it repeatedly.
Right.
Donald Trump hates unions. It is a fundamental aspect of his life. And Donald Trump is not interested in you, but he persuaded people he was. And for me, this was especially ironic, Chris, because I wrote a trilogy of books, Perfectly Legal, Free Lunch, and The Fine Print, that documented how government policies that nobody knew about, except a handful of people, take from the many and give to people like Donald Trump and Warren Buffett and Bill Gates and Walmart. Literally take money out of your pocket in very subtle, stealthy ways and redistribute it to the richest people in America. And that's a big reason that wages haven't grown, why the 90% in this country in 2014 were one percentage point better off than in 1966 above inflation. 47 years and people's average income went up 1% after inflation. So Donald Trump sold himself as the economic savior. Remember, he said, I alone, repeatedly, alone can solve this.
Nobody...
And he said, there's no other choice. We have no other choice. Well, that's the talk of a dictator and a madman, not of a president of a free people.
Let's get back to this question of news versus fake news.
Sure.
What is the average person? Now, I mean, I'm familiar with your work. I'm familiar with your reputation. I'm familiar with the fact that if David K. Johnston is attached to a project, that there is going to be a lot of report, good old fashioned, solid reporting behind that. How is the average person in a world of internet supposed to make those distinctions?
I think that's not hard at all to do, Chris. Here's what you want to remember. News organizations that are legitimate deal in identified sources. Now, in national security matters, they're not going to name people. But you'll notice when the New York Times writes a story about something, it will say, you know, they've got 9 or 10 unnamed sources. I generally don't use unnamed sources, but I wrote one piece in the New York Times where I said I had more than 60 unnamed sources in the IRS supporting this. And when I went to the IRS, they said, yeah, well, that's all true. We know that.
Hmm.
Places like Fox News, which is just a propaganda arm for the Republican Party, they take things and they twist them way out of proportion. And there are a whole group of organizations that watchdog these outfits that, you know, is this true or not? You've got everything from Snopes that checks out urban legends, SNOPES.com, to PolitiFact, to a whole host of other organizations. Media Matters is another one. And you want to pay attention to, well, what are the sources of this stuff? When Donald Trump said during the campaign, 40% of Americans are unemployed.
Right.
You would think most people would say, really?
Right.
Four out of every 10 people that I know don't have a job? That's absurd. There are official sources for things. You can type into the internet, what's the unemployment rate in the U.S.? By the broadest measure, what's the unemployment rate in the U.S.? Well, the most common measure, it's under 5%. And if you include people who are working part-time but want full-time work and people who are discouraged to look for work, it's still around 9%. Those are historically very, very good numbers, and they result from the policies of the Obama administration that it was able to get through despite the publicly declared intention of congressional Republicans to make his presidency fail, which is in itself unpatriotic. By the way, my column this week in the Daily Beast is about fake math. It's about Donald Trump's fake math. Donald Trump just told Congress, we're going to spend 10% more on our military, which already spends about 35% of all the military money in the world. We're going to rebuild all our roads and bridges, a trillion-dollar project. We're going to spend more on veterans. We're going to keep all the most important elements of Obamacare, and we're going to have a massive tax cut. I'm sorry, Donald Trump ran against the federal debt.
Right, right.
This is a fake math, because right. What he's going to do is double the federal debt in the next 4 or 5 years if he does this.
Let me just ask you, we just have a couple of minutes left.
Yep.
I always like to ask you, because you've written about this extensively, and the mythology around that comes from the right on public employee pensions. And I don't mean to put you on the spot suddenly, because
that's fine. Listen, here's the simple story on public employee pensions. The right wants people to think that these are a gift from the government. Your pension is something you earned. You could have taken the money that goes into the pension plan as cash. Instead, you were smart. You deferred it into a pool, which is a very efficient way. You don't, you know, so that whether you live to a day after your retirement or to 110, you will be taken care of through this. And politicians who want to cut taxes, the first thing they do is they stop putting money into the pension plan. They go, oh, we can't afford the pension plan. Look at these enormous costs, because they didn't put in the money. It's theft. It's wage theft when you don't put the money aside. You earn your pay. The way the pay is divvied up is simply accounting. It's not economics. So part of your money goes to vacation pay. Part of it goes to health insurance. Part of it goes to sick pay. Part of it goes to your pension. And the most efficient way to save money for old age is a defined benefit pension plan. And it's not difficult to do. All the government has to do is set aside the money every pay period to fund the pension plan. Wisconsin has a well-funded pension plan because they put the money in. What happened in New Jersey? The governor of New Jersey, Christy Whitman, came in and she stopped funding the pension plan. And David, now the state's in terrible trouble.
David K. Johnston, Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter. The website is dcreport.org. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, sir. Thank you very much for joining us.
Chris, thank you, and I hope people sign up for our free alerts. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Do you have physical or mental health issues related to exposure to the 911 attacks? You may be eligible for the World Trade Center Health Program, which provides for medical treatment at no out-of-pocket cost. For more information, call 212-815-1685.
That's just about all the time we have for this week. I want to thank David K. Johnston, Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter, and the founder of dcreport.org. A couple of messages before we go. The Irish Heritage Committee holds an Irish soda bread sale Friday, March 10th at Union Headquarters. For details, call 212-815-1741. Please request generic drugs whenever possible. They're safe and effective and will result in savings for you and your benefit plan. Stay in touch with DC37. Watch State of the Union, airing on cable TV citywide. Visit our website, www.dc37.net. And also, if there's anything you want to say about what you heard on this show, State of the Union at dc37.net. Till next time, I'm Chris Policano. The engineer is Andrea Minocchio. Rudy Orozco is the producer. Ciao.